This is Washington Watch Weekly, your voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. On this week's program, we'll hear from Congressman Frank Wolf about the latest on Benghazi, as well as pro-life champion Matt Burke, who'll talk about the feathers he's ruffled at the White House. But first, we'll talk with a sheriff who's fighting the Obama administration over a highly successful program. Here's FRC President Tony Perkins as he gets us started.
Well, our current president frequently fends off criticism of his administration's assault on religious freedom by saying he supports the freedom of worship. Now, as I've said many times, there is a vast difference between the freedom of worship and the freedom of religion that our founders identified as our first freedom in the Bill of Rights. The freedom of worship, well, I mean, that could be the church that you choose to go to or not to go to on a Sunday morning, or what you may decide to do in your home and sing songs or read your Bible. But the freedom of religion is the ability to live your life according to your faith and to allow it to go beyond the walls of a church. Well, it now appears the administration is systematically cleansing. Yes, I said cleansing. The public space of anything connected with Christianity. The latest example to come to our attention is the Department of Justice's withdrawing federal funds from the Young Marines program. And this is a national program. It's supported by the Marine Corps. It's their outreach to youth. But the reason the Department of Justice is withdrawing funding from Bossier Parish is because there's a reference to God in the oath, and they allowed for voluntary prayer. And joining me now is the sheriff of Bossier Parish, Sheriff Weddington. He is the sponsor of the Young Marines program, and he has refused to buckle under the federal government's demands to remove God from the program. Sheriff, welcome to the program.
Good afternoon.
Well, did I lay it out correctly there, Sheriff?
You absolutely did. That was great. That pretty well. That's exactly what we're facing. And like you mentioned, it's the very first one of our freedoms. And I just feel that it's just a direct, aggressive, and infringement upon that first religious freedom that we're offered. And it's just not sitting well with me, and certainly the people, not only in Bossier Parish, but I've gotten attention from around the world on people that are just as upset as I am.
Well, Sheriff, first let me say thank you for standing up for some. It's not a huge sum of money. You've admitted that yourself, and it's already authors have offered to fund the $30,000 grant that we're talking about here. But you understand the underlying principle that's at stake here.
Absolutely, and that's why the money part of it is important. But I've deliberately not gotten off into fundraising activities and things of that nature. I don't want the focus shifted onto the money-raising, fundraising part of it. I want to stay on exactly what we're talking about here.
Sheriff, this program, if I recall correctly what I've read, has been going on for about 10 years. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. We've had the program in effect for over 10 years and graduated over 1,000 young boys and girls. We're proud to boast an 88% success rate. So, you know, it looks to me these would be the type of programs that you increase funding on. You support them. You don't defund them or make it harder to get the funding on something that's effective.
Now, for the benefit of our listeners, explain a little bit about the program and who it targets, what it does, how it operates, and what the ultimate objective and goal of the program is.
Well, it's open to boys and girls ages 8 to 18, and it's just a character building, discipline. They learn how to march, deal with self-esteem issues, life skill things that they will carry with them, you know, throughout the rest of their life.
Now, I, having served in the Marine Corps, being a veteran of the Marine Corps, I can attest to what the actual Marine Corps did for me in terms of helping me make that transition from a youth to a young man. And I certainly think, given the need that our youth have today for, as you said, being exposed to some discipline, some self-esteem issues, just challenging them. And as you said, you've got an 88% success rate. These are kids that possibly could end up being on the wrong side of the law and being a consumer of limited resources that our local governments have. Instead, you're turning them into productive citizens that are being responsible and resourceful.
Absolutely, and that's why we think our program's so effective, and why would you be against it? It's working.
Now, as I understand Julian, this grant has been there before. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. For nearly 10 years, we've received these grant funds. And according to our information, a random audit was conducted, and that's when all this surfaced, and the problem with is identified in our letter. That's when we first became aware of this.
Now, are other jurisdictions that have the Young Marines program, obviously they have the same oath, are they having difficulties with funding from the federal government as well?
I'm not personally aware of any. I'm sure throughout the country somewhere there most likely, probably certainly are some Young Marines programs that are receiving funding in this manner. I just can't say. All mm-hmm. I know firsthand is about ours.
And I know you have pushed back pretty aggressively on this. What has been the response from the Department of Justice to your pushback?
Actually, our U.S. senators made some phone calls, and there in the beginning, I really thought we would be able to get this resolved and move on. But early on, they were wanting me to make some concessions and work out a deal, and I just plainly explained that thank you for your time, but there's really no deal to be made. This is pretty much yes and no. Either we can do it like presented, or we can't. Would you please tell us so we'll know which way to go?
And what have you been hearing? Have you been hearing a lot from the public right there in your local community?
I knew when I made the decision not to accept the money with their conditions, it was the right decision, Tony. But frankly, I've been overwhelmed. I can't go eat or go anywhere without people flagging me down, shaking my hand, saying we're with you. Right call. It's time people stand up and let the federal government, which is us, our government, we are the government, let them know that this is unacceptable.
Sheriff, I have to tell you, I think that is indicative of where the American people are. They're looking for leaders who will stand up to what they see as unjust and unmerited assaults on our freedoms, and I cannot think of something or anything more important than defending our freedom of religion, because every other freedom we have hinges on that.
Yes, sir. It's the most basic that we have, and I think probably that's one reason it's resonated like it has with the people, because they realize that.
Well, Sheriff, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for taking that stand for faith and freedom. And I can assure you that the whole FRC team is on your side, and anything we can do to help, we'll certainly do it.
I appreciate that support, and we're on the right track. Thanks, Tony.
That's just another example in a long list of attacks on our religious liberties made by this administration. To find out more about these attacks on Christianity, go to TonyPerkins.com. Again, that's TonyPerkins.com. We'll be back with more Washington Watch Weekly right after this.
Some say that Americans are puritanical about sexuality, but the truth is that we live in a sex-saturated culture. Many of us find ourselves wondering, like the psalmist, how to keep ourselves pure. Mapping America 123 shows that about 97% of those in intact marriages who worship weekly have had only one sexual partner in the previous year, compared to only 62% among those in non-intact marriages or who are single and who never worship. For more on marriage, worship, and sexual purity, visit www.mappingamericaproject.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch Weekly. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins is joined by Matt Burke, the starting center of the Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens, who's here to talk about a recent event that he missed. Here's Tony as he gives us a little background.
Well, it's rarely easy to take a public stand for your Christian faith these days. I mean, it's become a real challenge. But it's even harder when you're a public figure with a lot of eyes focused on you. Well, my first guest is one of those people who has not hesitated to stand up publicly for his faith, regardless of the criticism that he might get for doing so. So it's a real honor today to have on Washington Watch a Super Bowl champion, the former Ravens center, Matt Burke. He's here to talk about his decision to turn down an invitation to meet in the White House with the president after his team won the Super Bowl. Matt, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
Well, let me just set the stage here, or let you set the stage here for our listeners that may not have heard about this, but it's kind of a tradition. Super Bowl champions, World Series winners, they're invited to come to the White House. But you said thanks, but no thanks. Why?
Really what did it for me was about 6 weeks before the Ravens were supposed to visit the White House. That's when President Obama addressed Planned Parenthood, and he's the first sitting president him to do so. And his track record can speak for itself on how he feels about how much he respects the unborn or how much he doesn't respect them, which is obviously I don't agree with, but everyone's entitled to their own views, their own opinions. But when he did address Planned Parenthood, he was very pro-Planned Parenthood in his remarks. And at the end of his speech, he said, "Thank you, Planned Parenthood. God bless you." You know, I guess when you're speaking about politics, I guess we can agree to disagree. But to evoke the name of God when you're addressing an institution that ended 330,000 lives last year, that's just it's just ludicrous to me. And I guess you put up with a lot, but you have to draw the line somewhere. And I just after that, I didn't really have any desire to go there and meet with him.
Well, man, I'm glad that you didn't miss that part of a speech. I heard that as well. It was very troubling to me. Actually, he's the first sitting president to ever speak at a fundraising event for Planned Parenthood, the nation's largest abortion provider. Now, I don't know. Maybe you can tell me, were you the first senator to not attend the White House ceremony after winning the Super Bowl?
Probably the first senator. I know Tim Thomas, a goalie from the Boston Bruins, who's also also Catholic, I believe, did refuse the invitation as well a few years ago when the Bruins won the Stanley Cup. So I'll gladly follow his lead.
Well, let me ask you about that, Matt. Let me ask you the role your faith plays, because you've taken other stands too. You took a stand last year when marriage was on the ballot in Maryland. You stood up and said marriage is the union of a man and a woman. It was also on the ballot in several other states, Washington State. Is your faith, has that played a role in those decisions?
Oh, that's a huge influence in my life. And I mean, I'd like to sit here and tell you that I'm a great Christian, I'm a great Catholic. I just try to grow my faith every single day. It's pretty evident where my faith and where God stands on the issue of marriage, the issue of life. And we have a great ability as human beings to complicate things and deceive ourselves and twist certain things a certain way. But I'm just a football player. I like to keep things pretty simple and pretty straightforward.
Well, I'm gonna have to take issue with that, Matt, about keeping it simple. I understand you were voted the sixth smartest athlete in America. That may be because you're pro-life and pro-marriage, but don't underestimate it. I know you're a graduate of Harvard, and so you're clearly on the ball, not just snapping it, but you're on the ball. But let me ask you this: How do your teammates, how did they respond when you publicly spoke out on this?
Very positively. In fact, with the Ravens, we had one player that was really outspoken, was really against traditional marriage, and he got a lot of headlines. And one of my former teammates at the Vikings was the same way, and they got a lot of press. But actually, the Baltimore Ravens, we had six guys sign a statement that said we unequivocally believe that marriage is defined as one man and one woman, and we released it to the press. And of course, it didn't get a ton of coverage, which is one of the opponents that we're up against. Publicly and privately, the reaction to me has been, almost 100%. I can count on one hand how many times people have engaged me with the opposite viewpoint. And that's encouraging. I just try to encourage people to, we're called to speak up, and we should. We should pray for the strength and the courage to do so. And that's what we're going to have to do in order to get things going back in the other direction.
You're absolutely right. You're listening to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. I'm joined by Matt Burke, Super Bowl champion with the Ravens. He played the position of center. He's now retired from the NFL. Now, Matt, how many years did you play?
15.
That's a long time to be on the offensive line and play 15 years, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it was about 14 and a half years longer than I thought I'd play.
Well, but even on the most guys don't last that long. That's a tough spot to be in, and you've received a lot of accolades and recognition for your play. But I have to tell you what attracts me to you in your leadership is the stands you've taken off the field. And I just for one who's spent a lot of time working on marriage in the public policy arena, I want to say thanks for. By example, speaking out, and I know that it's the media makes this look hard because, as you said, they don't want to report the fact that you're in the majority. They want to make it look like you're in the minority. But when you do
Absolutely.
Stand up and speak out, others come along behind you. There's more out there than meets the eye.
I think it's kind of like a synergy thing. I mean, people, you know, tell me by the thousands. I mean. Letters come at me wherever, you know, telling me they share the same viewpoint. And I say, that's great. You know, that encourages me, and I encourage them. I tell them, that's great. You know, I mean, let's keep going. Let's keep fighting. Let's try to do God's will. And you're exactly, I mean, I think a lot of people who aren't paying attention would be shocked to know that every poll out there shows that more Americans are pro-life than pro-choice.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that would shock a lot of people who, for whatever reason, aren't really paying attention or haven't been following it. I mean, that's amazing. If you were just go by what's reported in the media, you would think it's 90-10 the other way. It's truly amazing. I think that the forces that we're up against, I know that they're real, and we need to dig in. I think we need to. I mean, the time is now where. 50 years ago, I think the American culture used to support our Christian faith, but that's not the case anymore. And so we need to be intentional about the values that we want in our society, about how we want to raise our kids, and about what we want the future of America to look like. Because if you look over the last 50 years, all our elected officials have done is just push God further and further and further out of our world, of our society, and I think that we see the results of that.
Matt, we're almost out of time. We're up against a break, but I want to ask you this question for those listeners out there. They're not football players, but they're moms, they're dads, they may own businesses. They're in other positions where people are focusing on them. What would you say to them when that opportunity comes to them to stand up for their faith?
You'll pray for the courage to do so. Pray for it before the opportunity arises. You'll have it. And just know. I mean, just know when you do stand up, people are going to lash out against you for whatever reason. I don't take anything personally. I don't deal in meanness or hatred or ignorance. My whole thing is I'm not trying to seek victory. I'm seeking the truth, and I'll always cling to that. And that's what I'll hang my hat on. That's what I'll sleep on at night. I'm not in the business of not sleeping at night. If you deal in the truth, things will be okay.
Matt, I want to get you back on the program because I want to find out what's next for Matt Burke. But we're out of time for now. Thanks so much for joining us. Appreciate it,
Tony. Thank you. True pleasure. Thank you.
We sure appreciate the stand for life that Matt took on this very important issue. You can find out more about the sanctity of human life when you visit us at tonyperkins.com. We'll be back right after this.
On October the 11th through the 13th, join fellow Americans who want to get our country back on the right course. Come to Values Voter Summit in Washington, D.C. and stand for faith, family, and freedom. Mike Huckabee, Senator Rand Paul, Rick Santorum, Star Parker, congressional members are already confirmed. Invited speakers include Dr. Ben Carson, Sean Hannity, Alan West, Governor Jan Brewer, Bobby Jindal, and Scott Walker. Senators Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio, Representatives Eric Cantor, Michelle Bachmann, and more. Today's hottest topics will be addressed: religious liberty, protection of life and marriage, government spending, and national security. Register today for just $99 at valuesvotersummit.org. That's valuesvotersummit.org. This October, stand with others who are committed to taking back our country. Go to valuesvotersummit.org.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Well, up next, FRC President Tony Perkins catches up with longtime friend and colleague, Representative Frank Wolf of Virginia. Here's how Tony got that conversation started.
Well, the media is being forced to start reporting on what did happen in Benghazi. It's been almost 10 months since the terrorist attack on our U.S. consulate in Benghazi. What exactly happened that night has still not been determined. The Obama administration has failed to provide the American people with answers, and as more information is uncovered, though, it appears there was, in fact, a cover-up of this administration's disastrous non-response. But you know what? It wasn't the media that was driving this. Surprise, surprise. It was a couple members of Congress, one in particular, who's joining me now, been on Washington Watch a number of times, Congressman Frank Wolf of Virginia. He's been a major force pushing for a thorough investigation of the Benghazi scandal because he understands what's at stake here. This is about national security. It's about freedom. It's about protecting our people and our installations overseas. And he's pushing for he's pushing House Resolution 36, which currently has 158 co-sponsors, and this would be a select committee on the terrorist attack in Benghazi, but it's not happening yet. Congressman, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be with you.
Well, last week, closed-door hearings on some aspects of Benghazi. Don't know exactly what took place behind those doors because they were closed. But this still seems to be brewing, and it's not going away. And I want you to give us an update on where things stand.
Well, we have 158 co-sponsors. More questions are coming up. We're really beginning to find out what happened, but we're not finding out on a first-hand basis in the sense that some of the people are calling and telling us different things. I almost think I could sketch out what happened, and if this resolution doesn't pass, pretty soon I'm going to get up on the floor and just lay out what I believe happened based on different things. But there was an interesting event just the other day. You may have seen it. Maybe you didn't. Again, the press didn't cover it. Four people who were there in Benghazi at the time just signed a book deal for $3 million. So they're going to tell the American people through a book deal, which will have to be cleared by the CIA before they say anything. And in order to find out, you're going to have to buy the book. I cannot believe. I would think that Congress would subpoena the people that are writing the book. I don't know the people, but so now. But did you see the report? They signed a $3 million book deal. Now, is any of that money going to go to Ty Woods' wife? You know, Ty Woods had a wife and a child. Is any of that going to go to Sean Smith? Any of it going to go to Glenn Doherty's family? His mom and dad are both retired. I think they're living in senior housing. But nobody says anything.
Well, let's go back to Congress then, Congressman Wolf. Why will they not act? I mean, why do we not see Congress moving to demand answers out of this administration?
Tony, I wish I could tell you. We have 158 co-sponsors. We have a number of members who are not on who kind of tell me that they're with me, but you know, they just, I think it's very tough for them to go against their chairman. There is a lot of turf. You know what turf is. You've served in a legislative body, and but I don't know. And but now we've reached, we're going to come up. The Congress has what, 4 more weeks? We're out on 4th of July recess. We have 4 more weeks when we come back. We go out for the August. And then when we come back, 2 days after we come back, it'll be the one-year anniversary. And I don't know the answer to it, Tony, because I think you have I mean, I think there are other ramifications that are beyond what it even be. Why was the CIA there? Were arms going to Syria? And if you've been following the news about the persecution of the Syrian Christians,
Yeah. It's
some of those arms coming in. The Saudis are involved. You know, the Saudis are no friends of ours. The Saudis funded all the radical madrasas on the Afghan-Pakistan border that led to the Afghanistan, that led to the Taliban.
Right.
Well, do weapons come through Saudi? I mean, so nobody knows. Nobody's even asking these questions.
Yeah, and all the polling is very clear. I don't think Americans have the stomach for supplying the arms to some of these rebels, knowing what happened in Afghanistan and other places when we got involved in there. But I think the thing that is most egregious is Americans don't like to be lied to. And I think everything I have seen so far in the hearings that have been held, that's exactly what happened. They've lied.
It is. They are. And it's a cover-up. And I'm even finding out things that I'm not able to go out and say, although maybe when I get on the floor and I'm protected by the speech and debate clause, I may just lay some of these things out. But yeah, there are things that if the American people knew, and to have a hearing and in closed-door session, the American people ought to know. There's nothing so classified that the American people can't know. And then they see a Justice Department with a fundamentally dysfunctional and corrupt operation, from the Office of Civil Rights, to the whole issue of Fast and Furious, to the problems of Eric Holder. And keep in mind, Eric Holder is the same Eric Holder that gave the pardon to Mark Rich at the end of the Clinton administration. And they see the IRS.
And he's in the same attorney general that's in contempt of Congress.
Exactly.
Congressman Wolf, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for continuing to press forward on this, and we're going to continue to track it, and as more comes available, we'll have you back on.
Well, I want to thank you, Tony, and thank your group, FRC. You and FRC, and you've been there at the beginning, you've been helped, so thank you, and your members, your supporters, thank you.
We hope that you'll help Family Research Council continue to fight for faith, family, and freedom here in Washington, D.C. You can find links to do just that when you visit tonyperkins.com. And for more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, you can reach us by phone at 866-372-1212, or you can partner with us online at tonyperkins.com. Washington Watch Weekly is sponsored by the Family Research Council.